The following service was recorded live on Sunday, March 12, 2017, at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Church. It's good to see you. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Let us know that today is indeed the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. May our hearts be glad, and truly may our souls rejoice. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, thank you for opportunity to come to worship and to praise you today, for all that you do in our lives, through our lives, and with our lives. We thank you for every opportunity to serve you that we're given. May we have eyes to see and a heart to share. So, Father, this morning as we come, we truly do thank you. And as we come to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, whatever has kind of brought us here today or whatever burden we bear, may you give us a time in this service that we feel your grace and presence brand new in our hearts and lives. May we truly worship you now in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. From heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name.
I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. It's 2151 in the faith we sing.
I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Had me bound. Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound. Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound. Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. When I was in trouble, Jesus lifted me. When I was in trouble, Jesus lifted me. When I was in trouble, Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me.
Our reading this morning, we've changed it a little bit. It's still John 3, but it's 1 through 18. So we want you to look at that. But also keep your Bible, so go ahead and get it out and turn to it because you're going to need it in just a minute. Get the Pew Bible out, John chapter 3.
Okay, so our reading for this morning is John chapter 3, verses 1 through 18, which can be found on page 863 of your Pew Bible. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of this only Son of God." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I had this nice, tidy message for us this morning, and I was going to talk about Nicodemus, and I titled the sermon "Nick at Night," and I was going to tell you about the Jewish traditions of coming to the house and at night and getting admission and stuff like that. But as the Spirit has kind of moved around a little bit in my heart, I think there's a little different message for us this morning from this text. So get your book out. If you don't have one, find one, because it's going to be sort of a reading of it. So John 3:16. I remember growing up in the Baptist church, this is one of the first verses they taught us to memorize. John 3:16. Well, John 3:16, really, it doesn't connect much. It just makes a statement, unless you read 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. But just for now, I want you to try to memorize this one. How many of you memorized this one already? Okay, some haven't, so let's work on it a little bit. Together, let's read it together. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. I memorized in the King James, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I still like King Jimmy there. I still like that poetic ring to it. And that's what I learned it as. But Jesus is talking about his death here. In John 14, he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You can find that reference in Numbers 21, verse 9. Numbers 21, verse 9. I encourage you to go back there and read that. It's about Moses lifting up a serpent, and all the people who looked at the serpent would not die. But if they didn't, they would die. In our world today, the medical sign is a serpent wrapped around a stick. And it is that symbol that we get from that Numbers 21, 9 passage. So hold on to that one and keep it there. So I want us to look at this passage. I want you to know, first off, Nicodemus and Jesus are not enemies here. Nicodemus and Jesus are friends. Nicodemus and Jesus are continuing a conversation that they had earlier. And that conversation stems around two things that Nicodemus wants to know. And these are the two things that I want to come to this morning. And that is, Nicodemus, the idea of being reborn, rebirth, he was a child of Abraham. He was an heir of the promise. So he didn't understand this being reborn and born again. And don't laugh at Nicodemus. Says, can you go back and be, you know, when you're old, to go back and don't, no. Just know that Nicodemus is trying to understand. Jesus, this Messiah, is breaking new ground. He's telling him that you have to be born of the water and the Spirit. The water and the blood. And as you go through and progress through the text, you see that Jesus moves it to be born of the Spirit. There has to be a spiritual rebirth, a renewing, a changing. Paul will later say that we must be crucified with Christ, that we will be resurrected with Christ, that we are born anew. So Jesus moves forward in this conversation with Nicodemus, and he talks about eternal life. For the ancient Jewish people, they didn't know, they didn't hold that. They didn't believe in eternal life. They knew the Messiah would change that when the Messiah came. And they didn't realize that Jesus was that Messiah. So Nicodemus is trying to understand this, how many of us struggle with that even today? This idea of rebirth, this idea of born again, this idea of eternal life, and this idea of, as Jesus says to Nicodemus, two things. Number one, you can't see the kingdom of God. And number two, you can't enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again. And I think for the church today, maybe our depth of understanding of this has waned a little bit. And maybe our conviction of the message of repent and receive God's love. Don't repent out of fear. Don't repent out of duty. Don't repent out of obligation, but repent out of a realization of God's love. I know so many people who have a religion of duty. I bet you do too, don't you? They go because they have to go. They have to keep the reputation. They have this duty. They live a life of duty. The only reason they do things is to be thought well of. How many of you know people like that? You don't have to raise your hands, but I bet every one of us has got somebody in our mind right now. How many of you, I want you to raise your hand, how many of you were taught that duty was first? Oh, come on. How many of you were always taught that you need to do the right thing so people think about you well? You worry about your reputation. Anybody? Worry about what other people think. Huh? Oh, come on. Yeah. If that wasn't so, what you thought about how you dressed this morning wouldn't have influenced it, would it? Or or even brushing your teeth and combing your hair. I mean, you would have come to church in pajamas and kind of fuzzied us everywhere if you wasn't worried about what people thought, wouldn't you? You know, that's just a fact. I mean, if I wasn't, you know, I had to put on my black suit and my white collar so that I could be the preacher in my role, you know, in my duty, instead of wearing my Carhartts and boots and a t-shirt, you know. How many of you saw me in that? That's my comfy stuff. I mean, that's just, I just like it, you know. But this is, it's almost like another skin now I've worn for so long. But we do things out of duty. We don't always know it is duty, do we? And if it is a duty, maybe we don't do it. But it's that motivation of what we should. And Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, you have all of the knowledge, and you've kept all of the duties, and you've kept all of the law, but you still can't see the kingdom of God, and you can't enter it. There are a lot of people in the world today think they're going to heaven, and they're going to bust hell wide open, church. That's the way it is. They got Jesus up here, but he's never moved down here. You see, they do all of the stuff because it's what they should do. They don't do all of the stuff because their heart's in it. Well, Pastor, how do you know that? I don't know that, but God does. I don't judge, but I'm a fruit inspector. We'll be known by the fruit we bear. Folks, if you can assassinate somebody's character, he ain't moved out here. If you could tear your neighbor limb from limb, he ain't moved down here. If you can judge somebody and put them in their place that quick, probably hasn't moved down here. Because you know the one thing I found out about? This don't work because there's some more coming back here. You see, he has to be down here, doesn't he? Where is love? Is it in your mind or in your heart? Tell me. It's in your heart, right? It's got to go from here to somewhere else, don't it? Because I can love a tree. Really? Carrie's going to hit me because she loves trees. I'm sorry, I can't love a tree. Do you know why? They don't love me back. I told you. I told you. But I can't. I'm just saying I didn't say we. I didn't say you. I said I. How many of you have a pet, a dog? I like dogs. Not so much cats. But if you got cats, okay, I'll pray for you. Tell me, if you've got cats, have you trained it to sit yet? Have you even taught it to come when you call it? Or go when you send it? Try that with a cat. I mean, anyway, never mind. I regress. But I like dogs. You know why I like dogs? They're always happy to see you. You know, when I come in, go to Buddy's down in the garage, and Buddy's Buddy, I mean, he's about one in his brain. He's eight, seven or eight in his body, but he's one in his brain. He's still a puppy in his head, you know? And when he go down the garage, I sit down on the step, and he smoozes me. Do you know what smoozing is? He gets his head, and he rubs it all over you, you know? You don't have to pet him. He's petting himself. He's a smoozer. He just gets it. And you know what? That little tail is just going so fast that his whole body is going. And he can't, you know, he's just, oh, my goodness. And then you can't help it. Guess what you do? You pet him. And guess what happens? Whatever mood you're in, it kind of goes away, don't it? Why? He just come to love on you.
You see, that's here, isn't it? It melted everything away. Maybe just for a minute. It melted away the difficult things you faced that day. It melted away the harsh words, the false claims. For a moment, it melted away the lies of the enemy. For a moment, the nozzle of a dog scratching it behind its ear. And watch that little tail waggle. And you find out that even a dog can love you. And you can love it. You with me? That don't compare to God's love for us. Now, how does God nuzzle us and wiggle his tail? How does that happen? For God so loved, I want you to say it with me. For God so loved the world, stop. Stop. Now I want to give you this one. Say this with me. For God so loved me that he sent his only son that I might know his love. Put me in there. I bet there are times in your life when you haven't felt very lovable. I bet there have been times when you didn't feel like you could love very well. And the reality is, there may have been times in your life when you were not very lovable. And there might have been times in your life when you wasn't very loving. But his love didn't stop. I go back to the doggy. It don't matter what kind of day I've had. He's still going to smooze me. If I get close, he's going to smooze me. Don't matter about our mistakes. It don't matter what somebody has said about us. It don't matter where somebody has put us in our place. It doesn't matter that the enemy has come against us with every false accusation that's out there. It doesn't matter that the enemy has tried to destroy us and tried to tear us down. We need to hold on to the fact that God's love is greater than any of that, and that God's love is given to us, because here's a secret about love. When you choose to love somebody, what can they do about it? Two things, accept it or reject it, but they can't stop it. God chose to love us whether we want it or not. God chose to love us whether we were right or wrong. God chose to love us whether we were perfect or flawed. We got any perfects in here? Whew, I was worried. Thought one might have snuck in. I hadn't saw one yet, but I keep looking. I'm going to see one day, and his name will be Jesus. And you know what? I've made mistakes. I've messed up. I've done some horrible things. And I'm going to mess up some more. I hope I don't do any horrible things. God help me not to do that anymore. But, you know, I'm still going to stumble along the way. But when I get there, there's going to be a couple nail-scarred hands. That are going to reach out around me. And all of that, I will know finally, has been covered under the blood. And I'll know that despite my faults and failures, His love never stopped. I would encourage us not to wait till then to know that. To know that we are loved and lovable. That we make mistakes, but we're forgiven. That we don't get it right, but God still loves us. It's grace, for God so loved us. I want to give you a little bit more of this picture. Jesus came and died for us while we were still sinners. He didn't say, okay, everybody line up, and as soon as you get it right, I'll die for you. Aren't you glad that ain't what happened? No, He said, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to love you anyway. I'm going to make salvation available. Believe in me. I've studied the book a little bit. I spent some time in it. I read about some people with some flaws. I read about Peter, Jesus' number one man. Cain concealed, Rob. In the garden, Jesus is praying. They come and arrest Him. What does Peter do? Whoosh, out with a sword, chops off Malchus's ear. I mean, here's a guy who's been with Jesus for 3 years, and he still chops off. And Jesus, in the midst of being arrested, has to fix it. And then He had said to Peter, you're going to deny me, but I love you anyway. Even Judas He loved. You see, it's that thing about love, isn't it? Nicodemus was trying to wrap his mind around it. He couldn't get it. Church, the world needs to get it, and we need to share it with them. But we can't do that until we get it ourselves, until we move it from here to here, until we know that no matter what the world says, we are lovable. No matter what the world says, we are loved. No matter what the enemy says, Jesus died for me. Jesus redeemed me. And Jesus gives me new life. The old has been taken away. And the new has come. Healing is available. His Holy Spirit is there to share in love and grace and strengthen us in our journey. We as Christians are called to love one another. It's commandment number 11. That's the Monday Thursday service, by the way. It's number 11, that we love one another. We need to be buddies for each other. I'm talking about the dog day, you know. We need to have waggly tails and nuzzling faces. We need to be able to reach out and show God's love to each other through His grace and by His mercy. We need to be that into the world around us and in the brokenness of each other's lives. How many of you were at the Bible study at the Parsonage on Wednesday night? Ladies, you were there? You do know I hear real well. There's a lot of parts of me broken, but the ears are still, this one's not as good as it once was, but still pretty good ears, you know. Guess what I was doing? I was listening. Do you know what I heard going on in there? You were sharing your journey. What a blessing it was to hear people sharing their journey. No, dadgummit, I couldn't take any notes on anything for Gossip Central or anything like that. You just wasn't bleeding out that good, juicy stuff. So, you know, but you were bleeding out good and juicy stuff about your journeys. And I wish Mindy was here, so I'm going to pick on her while she's not here, about a young man. Just a random conversation about believing in Jesus. And guess what? Wednesday morning, guess who come to the flagpole to pray with us? You know, we do that every Thursday, not Wednesday, Thursday morning, 7:15, Rock Springs High School. we gather to pray for the school and the kids and the children. He came. She said, come and pray. And he did. Hands. Hold them up for just a minute. You see, when your faith goes from here to here, it'll go to here too. Have a look at them. Look at your hands. Now, look at your neighbor's hands. Find somebody's hands to look at. Don't look under their nails. That's why I want them palms up. Yeah? Don't look at the scars and the calluses, but hold them up. These are the hands of Jesus. Yeah, they're your hands. They're your neighbor's hands. For if Christ is in you, we become his hands and his feet. We become the tangible representation of Christ in the world. I don't have holes in mine, but he did his for us. He died for us that we may live, that we may have eternal life. Yeah, that's the ending policy. But he says, I am with you always. The hands of Jesus. This is the way it works. No one is perfect. No one gets it all right. But we can still all accept Christ and be his hands and his feet. Yeah, I said I couldn't love a tree because it couldn't love me. But you know, I might not be so correct about that after all. Because it isn't necessary that it love me back. I can choose to love anyway, whether it loves me back or not. For that is what God did for us. He chose to love us whether we loved him back or not. He gave us the choice. Always two. Never more, never less. To accept it or to reject it. So I can love a tree. I can choose to love, or I can choose to hate. I can choose to forgive, or I can choose to harbor resentment. I can choose to find fault, or I can choose to find the good. I can find myself and choose to be negative, or I can find and choose to be positive in my life. I can choose for these to be the hands of Christ or the fist of hate. Free will. It's ours. Gift or curse? What will it be? Believe and accept, or don't believe and reject. But I encourage you to take it from here to here to here in love. Folks, the world needs it. There are broken lives around us that needs a tangible Christ in it. May we truly be the tangible Christ into the world. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Life gets busy sometimes. A lot of burdens and cares. A lot of problems, a lot of situations. I know for me, sometimes I don't know whether I'm coming or going or already been there.
Amidst the busyness of our life, amidst the calls upon us, our time, our gifts and talents, are we taking time to be Jesus? Are we taking time in our relationship with Him that we could move it from our mind to our heart and out into the deeds that we do out of love, not expecting a return, but just sharing His love? Pastor, it's been a tough week, and I don't feel real loving, and I don't feel as lovable maybe as I should. Would you pray for me this week? I just feel like that there's some people that are there. Amen. Amen. Pastor, I'm struggling with being Christ into the world. Would you pray for me as I try? Amen. Pastor, I'm just struggling with a lot of stuff right now. Not going to tell you why or what, but just pray for me this week that you slip your hand up. Amen. Pastor, my heart is broken about some things in my life. Pray for healing for me this week. Slip your hand up. Amen. Pastor, I've got some problems in family and friends, and they're just big burdens for me this week. Would you pray for me? I pray for you this week. Amen. Pastor, I've got some decisions before me, and they're not easy. Pray that the Holy Spirit would guide me. If that's you, I'll pray for you this week too. Amen. Pastor, I don't have it all together. I make a few mistakes along the way, but I want to pray for others this week. If you'll pray for others, slip your hand up this morning. Amen. Our gracious and loving God, would you hear our hearts in prayers today? That we, like Nicodemus, we seek and we ask the questions because we want to know. We're convicted of that. But, Father, if we hear the answer, may we receive it. May Christ be more than a duty we perform or a thing we say, but let it move into our hearts that we could truly be His hands and feet. And Father, may we share the good news that God loves us and God loves us all despite our faults and failures. And we can have this presence of the Holy Spirit and this gift of love and grace if we'll just accept it. This healing, this forgiveness, not the condemnation, not the judgments, but the release comes in Christ. That at least when the journey is hard, we know we're not alone. Hear our hearts and hear our prayers. And may Christ truly be in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Since Jesus came into my heart.
remember that John 3:16 says to us that God loved the world, but also remember it also means God loved me, and God loves you, and God loves them, whoever they may be. And now may the grace and peace of God go with you, bless you, and keep you. May you go in peace by His mercy and in His grace. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The preceding was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. If you would like copies of this message for friends or family, you may contact us at area code 307-362-5334. Our email address is rsfumc@hotmail.com. Visit our website at www.rsumc.org. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. You are cordially invited to join us in worship at 10:30 on Sunday mornings.